Well, if you're not wearing a backpack, then you're welcome to come on in. It's the news, according to me. Oh, there's a big kerfuffle. There's a big kerfuffle going on. And it's going to be an interesting thing to see what happens now. Miss Boebert, that's Congresswoman, is got herself in a little bit of a she stepped in a little bit, I think. She's told a joke that, of course, somebody can't take. So now they're going to seek action against her because of something she said. And I'll just remind you of some of the things that the person she's talked about has said. But anyway, in the meantime, welcome. This is the news according to me. I'm your host for this next 4-hour show. No, it's not going to. This is going to be a fairly short show. This is a Saturday morning special. Since the holiday weekend here has kind of messed things up, I don't think I could get a show in the last couple days. I didn't get one in yesterday. The day before, I had left my house about 2:30 in the morning, and ended up going to Dayton, Ohio. And I ended up that day. I had to drive to Dayton, Ohio, and then I had to. Well, let's just say I had a long day. I ended up. This is on Thursday, Thanksgiving Day. I ended up getting into, where did I go? I can't even remember where I went. Columbia, Missouri is where I was at. Last night, I was in Erie, Pennsylvania. I'm still in Erie, Pennsylvania right now, actually. I'm going to be going from Erie, Pennsylvania today. I'll end up supposedly in Burlington, Vermont this evening, and possibly Portland, Maine Sunday night. I don't know how that's going to go. I'm supposed to go home on Sunday, but it looks like Portland may end up being a place where I go Monday evening. I'll probably go home on Monday. Sunday evening, and I'll go home on Monday. But that's all yet to be determined. So I need to be back in at home on Monday for some other work I need to do. So that's my schedule. But I know the reason you're listening is because you want to know what's in my cup. Well, the strange little story today is I don't even have a cup. This morning, I have a little bottle of water. That's all I have is a little bottle of water. I mean, I'm talking a little bottle. It's like a mini bottle. It's the kind of bottle that you open it up and it's, if you take one drink, it's pretty much empty. But that's what I have. It's got about 4 swigs in it. I just took a swig, so I got about 3 left. The hotel I'm in here has a Cracker Barrel out front, which is all I needed to know. That suits me just fine. I think the hotel might even have a free continental breakfast of some kind, but of course that just doesn't do it for me. So I had to go over to Cracker Barrel this morning. So this whole thing here with Congresswoman Boebert. I like Boebert. She's pretty feisty. She was kind of she's not one of the typical rhino establishment Republicans, at least as far as I can tell. She has a tendency to be very outspoken. She's very, very big on Second Amendment rights. She's been very pushy about that in Congress. She has pushed that issue. Apparently she's now allowed to carry. And of course, this was all pre-January 6th, because we don't talk about 9/11 anymore. It's 1/6. That's the, when the big insurrection happened. I say that as I roll my eyes, by the way. So the issue that we have before us here is that Boebert was apparently at an event of some kind, and she was doing like a little stand-up comedy routine. And she was talking about this police officer. Apparently, it's some kind of a story she was telling. And she said something about Ilhan Omar walks in. And they were concerned about a terrorist attack of some kind or something. And She said something about, well, she's not wearing a backpack, so she's probably okay. This has been, because that was the implication there, was that she was potentially a suicide bomber. Now, there was a time when this kind of thing would have been considered a joke, and that's all it would have been. Maybe in poor taste joke, according to some. To others, they would have just laughed it off. I would have just laughed. Even if it would have been about me, I would have laughed. Because the left cannot poke fun at themselves. The only thing they can do is be offended by everything. And then they use that as a wedge or a power, a way to manipulate people into getting their way. And that manipulation comes in the form of an apology. Now, unfortunately, I was very disappointed in Boebert. She actually did come out with an apology. And that is the first sign of caving, and they will attack that, and they gang up and pile on that. That is the first sign of weakness. Now, if you notice, Joe Biden called Kyle Rittenhouse a white supremacist. When asked if he was going to give an apology, all we got from Circleback Psaki was a huge shift and deflection, and no apology was made. This is the left. They accuse you of whatever they want, and no apologies are forthcoming, even when they are found to be wrong. They just move on to the next offense. That's just the way they do it. This is their playbook. An apology is not necessary in this case. Boebert said nothing wrong. If people were offended, that's their problem. Because, you see, somebody can be offended by anything you say. You can say, hey, look, the sky is blue. Well, I'm offended by that. I don't like blue. Well, that's your problem, apparently. You've got a problem, apparently. Maybe you can work it out with that person that offended you. But, you know, to go public, to deal with it that way, it's when you're a public figure, it's very different. And the law even shows this for very good reasons when you're in the public eye. It wasn't malicious, it wasn't defaming, and it wasn't inflammatory. The president calling Kyle Rittenhouse a white supremacist was malice. By the very definition of it, when he was proven to be acting in self-defense. Now, in any other situation, the president won't come out and they like to hide behind, well, it's an ongoing investigation. I'm not going to talk about any case. I'm not going to comment on any cases that are currently underway. Well, you already made your comment. The case hadn't even unfolded, and you weren't even president yet. You were a private citizen running for president, which opens you up for a lawsuit. And this has been determined by case law. Things that you did before you were president do not exempt you. Well, so now she's apologized. And of course, the left now is piling on. Basically, Ilhan has come out and said that, you know, apologies are not enough. They're going to take action now against her. Going to take action against Boebert. So that's the way it's going to go. And unfortunately, you know, she either needs to come out and double down and say, look, this is baloney. They have taken action. Oh, here we have Joe on the news again. he just took his mask off to talk to the public. He's looking really tough, saying something, blabbering on. And the reason that the news now all of a sudden is all about the variant. We have the new variant. I can't remember what they're calling it. The Oculus something. I don't know, whatever it's called. I don't know. It's Oculus Prime. Who knows what they're going to call it. Now, they're saying no new cases of the variant have been detected in America. Well, let me tell you something, folks. It's here because there was no detection of the COVID virus in the United States until, so I don't know, sometime in, what was it, March of 2020. And yet it had been determined to have been here for 3 or 4 months at least before that. Probably since December of 2019 when it was here. Because they weren't testing for it. If you tested everybody in the country all at the same time for this variant, you'd probably find somebody that has it. And here's the reason. They're saying that in Africa, southern Africa is where it's at. But here's the problem. They're finding it all the way from the east to the west coast. They are finding it in Egypt. I can't tell you how much travel there has been between Africa and Europe in the last few months. And this variant obviously has been around for a few months. It wouldn't be all over. It wouldn't be from one side of the continent of Africa to the other side if it hadn't been around for a while. A variant can travel very quickly, especially this one, apparently. They're not telling us much about this. And this is what bothers me about this variant is that they're not saying whether the symptoms are worse. They're not saying whether or not it spreads more or not. They haven't come out with any definitive statements about this thing. Does it spread more easily? Does it have worse symptoms? Is the death toll higher? The one thing that they are saying right now that seems to be of great concern, of course, the vaccine is almost ineffective, completely ineffective against this thing. Now, supposedly in Africa and Southern Africa, and all, I think when they quote these statistics, you never know what they're talking about, whether it's all of Africa or just Southern Africa. I was under the impression Southern Africa had, or at least South Africa anyway, the country had a much higher vaccination rate than most of Africa. Now, Africa itself, as a continent, I believe, is like in the 3%, 4% range for vaccination, I think. However, there were some reports came out, and I don't know how accurate these were or where the sources came from. One of the sources said that the only people in Africa who are getting the variant have been vaccinated. Now, if that's the case, then that means it has mutated to adapt to the vaccines. It's almost a vaccine-dependent variant. If that's the case, this is going to be a real problem. I don't know if that's the case. This is one report, and I don't know about the accuracy of it. Another situation we have is that the variant is apparently spreading very quickly. This is just according to just looking at the news right now, Delta and United not stopping service to South Africa. There is supposed to be a travel ban in Europe to South Africa, but it's not supposed to start until like Tuesday or Wednesday, I think, or something like that. So that tells you the enormity of the emergency. In other words, everybody who wants to travel is going to be traveling quickly, and they probably be carrying the variant. Let me just put it this way. There's a lot of travel between Africa and Europe. There is undoubtedly the variant has spread to Europe already. If it is in Europe, then I guarantee you it is also in the United States. Again, we have to keep in mind, this thing takes a couple weeks to really come to fruition. And then it will take another couple weeks before it's being detected or tested, because they're only testing a segment. When they do these tests, they test for the regular coronavirus. Then they take a sample of those tests, maybe 5% of them, are screened. They go to further testing for variants. That's kind of how this is done, because they can't test everybody, rapid test everybody for all the variants and all the stuff. So they rapid test for one thing, and then they can send a percentage of those to test for variants, and they can determine whether or not the variants are here. Well, this, when you're testing such a small number for variants, and they don't even know what other variants are possible right now, there could be other variants actually creeping through that we don't even know about yet. They may not even show up on the test. We just don't know. Now, keeping all this in mind, we have to keep in mind that the vaccine itself. Now, there was a guy being interviewed this morning, and I'll try to put this in a way that can be understood. There's a particular specialist, or I don't know what he was, expert of some sort, was talking about the vaccine and saying that they can easily tweak the vaccine to suit this variant, but it would take about 2 months in order for that to come out and be available. And then, they have to produce it, but they can get it done in 2 months because with the mRNA vaccine now, they can do all this tweaking. Well, why didn't they do the tweaking for the Delta variant, first of all? Secondly, there's some alarming news that goes along with this, and it has to do with the vaccine itself. There are some countries now that have extremely high vaccination rates. South Korea is one that the population, the 18 and older population in South Korea is 91% vaccinated, and they are experiencing the highest outbreak that they have seen yet in the whole course of this virus. Now, Ireland also, same thing. They have a very high vaccination rate population, vaccinated population, and they also are experiencing a extreme outbreak. Now, here's what is concerning me. How many times have you heard them say the vaccine is safe and effective? It's safe and effective. It's safe and effective. It's okay. There's two things that they're saying there. One is they're saying it's safe, which means, you know, it's safe to take, not going to cause a problem, right? The second is that it's effective. Well, those are two different statements, but they like to throw them out there all the time. It's safe and effective, safe and effective. Okay, so get to your point, Kevin. So the point is, it's not very effective, obviously. In 6 months, this thing has to have a booster. They are now, Fauci, I guess, in fact, there's several other people among others, have now determined that they need to change the definition of fully vaccinated to those who've had the booster. In some countries, they turn off your vaccine passport after 6 months, 6 months after having received the second jab. If you don't get the booster, then they reactivate your, if you get the booster, they reactivate your vaccine passport. Now, think about the control that this has on society and who has that control. This is going into the hands of big tech. Once you have an app on your phone that now controls your ability to, whether you can go to restaurants or go to the gym or go to social events or school or to work or travel to get a taxi. Once they get to this point where they have this kind of control where they can just shut you off if you don't comply, this is totalitarianism, and people are signing up for it because they think that they are protecting each other with a vaccine that has obviously been shown to be a dismal failure. Just to put it bluntly, is it a total failure? No. Supposedly, a vaccine that protects you from getting serious symptoms is not really what we consider to be. When think back to when this vaccine first came out, everyone kind of breathed a sigh of relief because the vaccine was available, the vaccine was coming out, and we honestly thought that, okay, so now we've got actual immunity to this thing. We've got, of course, they call it herd immunity, which ironically, everybody uses that term. I've even used that term. But think about the ramifications of using that term. To call humans a herd kind of gives you an idea of how we think of, you know, the population, the general population, that's at least those in the leadership. They should call it peak immunity, something else. It's just, when you stop and think about it, all that. Herd immunity kind of makes us sound like cattle, which is really what the elites think of us as, cattle, chattel. They want to ride on the wave of our productive ability and control that productive ability until they can get computers and machines to do most of the work for us, and then they can just eliminate us and kind of live high on the hog and whatever they want to do. I don't know. It's just a lot of conspiratorial ideas out there, what's going on, but... In the meantime, so we have this thing where they say it's safe and effective. Well, obviously it's not very effective. Not nearly as effective as we thought. So the efficacy of this thing, of course, now you want to get into the talk about masks, the effectiveness of masks. and yet they're requiring them in households now. In Europe, and some, I think maybe even some places in the states here, over Thanksgiving, I think this was actually a thing in Thanksgiving. I think it was in New York or California somewhere. If you have people in your home who are not from your household, they recommend that you wear masks for Thanksgiving in your home. Actually, they're requiring. I think it's a law. It's like a regulation now. The health department, they're asking people to tell on. If you go to the family gathering and people aren't wearing a mask, they're asking them to report them to the FBI. This is draconian, communist, Stalinistic type stuff. And yet it's happening. And people are doing it willingly because they're protecting us. You're protecting everybody by wearing a mask. You're being fully protected. If you're not wearing a mask, you're not protecting anyone. Where you're breaking the law. And yet, you know, people have been wearing masks a lot, and this thing still spreads because it's a virus. And you don't understand if you really think that mask is going to protect you from this virus. Here's the problem, and this has been said many times. You don't understand. We can't wrap our heads around how tiny a virus is. How easily it goes through a mask, especially these cloth masks. Now, N95, another story. There's some proven efficacy there. Cloth masks determined to be at least anywhere from zero, because they actually had negative numbers on some of these. Anywhere from 0 to 18%. That's basically nothing. When you talk about efficacy. Effectiveness for a cloth mask, like a cotton mask or whatever kind of cloth fibers you have. And yet everybody wears one. Not everybody wears a cloth mask, but everybody wears these masks that hardly anybody you see wears an N95. Because there's a reason. You wear that thing very long and it starts to affect your breathing. It starts to affect, you know, you have to change them out because it does restrict your breathing and your oxygen level quite a bit. So we have this issue of effectiveness with the vaccine. Well, the other part of that statement is that they're safe. The vaccines are safe and effective. Well, they're wrong about the effectiveness, first of all. They're not nearly as effective as what we were led to believe, and still are led to believe. It's protecting everybody. If you're vaccinated, you're protecting everybody. Okay. But you still have to wear a mask. You can still carry the virus. It's being now more and more determined according to the numbers. I'm not talking about what they're saying. I'm talking about actual numbers and anybody who's studying them and the studies that have come out. The actual numbers on this are that the effectiveness is waning. And so we have that as a problem. And the actual numbers actually show that even vaccinated people can, basically, their caseloads are the same as anybody who's unvaccinated. The problem is you can't tell. They're not testing people if you don't have symptoms. Natural immunity still is winning out over the vaccination. And these vaccines are just miserable failures. And normally, a vaccine will protect you better than natural immunity at some points, in some ways. But that's not the case in this particular virus. So here's what we have. The statement about being safe. How do we know that statement is true? They were wrong about it being effective. I would contend that they're wrong about it being safe. There are more studies now coming out and more data being gathered about the reactions to the vaccine. One of the things that alarms me a lot is that there have been an alarming number of issues with heart issues with this vaccine. And now we are vaccinating kids, and we are actually seeing an increase in virus outbreaks among kids. Is there a correlation? I don't know. Is it a variant that is starting to be more aggressive towards children and kids than what had earlier? Is there some kind of variant that has happened? Is Delta more happening more with kids? The thing that I guess it blows my mind is that we have a higher population now, higher number of the population that is vaccinated, and yet we are still seeing outbreaks as high or higher than ever. When you look at effectiveness of certain things and then the ability to talk about it, here's something that's just, it's kind of a side note here. Vitamin D, in some very good studies now that have come out, and there's one that I think was probably the best, the most qualified study, showed that people who are taking vitamin D and keeping their vitamin D at 100% levels per day, they're experiencing, in these studies, they're experiencing a 53% reduction in hospitalizations among the populations that they've been studying in the control groups. 53% reduction in hospitalization just for taking vitamin D. Now, if you state that on Facebook or on Twitter, you will most likely get censored. There's a reason why they're censoring things like ivermectin, is that what I said, and hydroxychloroquine. The ivermectin has been actually shown to be extremely effective in keeping people out of the hospital. They are maligning it and poo-pooing it and defaming it, dismantling it, whatever you want to call it, for a very good reason. And here's the real reason behind this stuff, why they will not accept any therapeutics, and why Pfizer now has come out with their own therapeutic, which basically works just like ivermectin. actually doesn't work as well in some studies. Because ivermectin actually works against a much broader range of variants, whereas the new Pfizer or which one, I think it was Pfizer or Moderna came out with their little therapeutic pill. It doesn't work on as wide of range. However, here's the thing. If there is a therapeutic, so this thing, when it was under emergency use, you cannot allow something to be used under emergency use authority because it wasn't fully approved by the FDA yet. You can't use it under emergency rules if there is a therapeutic that is seen to be effective enough. There's no other treatment. The only way they can do it is if there's no other treatment. Well, so they couldn't allow any other treatment because the vaccine had to be the thing. And again, I get back to this whole hysteria about making the... It just blows my mind that we are pushing the vaccine so hard with regard to making sure people are jabbed by this thing. Now, if I am able, I might do a show tomorrow. Actually, it'll be tonight. It's going to be probably posted tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning, I have an extremely early departure. I get into Burlington this evening, fairly early in the evening, and I'm going to be leaving out of Burlington fairly early tomorrow. If I'm able to do a show on Sunday or early Monday morning, one of the two, I'm not sure exactly which how it's going to be. Either I'm going to do a show Sunday night, but I'll probably post it on Monday morning. I want to talk a little bit about the issues involved with the vaccine passport, the vaccine itself, where this is all leading, and what we are heading to with regard to just in general, how this plays out with financial institutions and how we're going to see this whole thing happen. What my opinions are in terms of how we're gonna get there. So that's my plan at this point. But in the meantime, Shabbat Shalom to you. This is Saturday morning. I'm going to try to get this thing on the internet. I'm having a hard time getting on the internet here at the hotel. They're not answering their phone. There's supposed to be a code I'm supposed to be able to use, and it's not working, and I don't know what's happening here. So I'll try to do something with getting this thing posted here before I end up taking off from here and leaving the hotel room. But once again, folks, have a wonderful weekend. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Some of you probably are still having family events this weekend, or Sunday, and gatherings, and going home, and traveling, and all the things you're doing. So be careful out there. Try to be as safe as possible. And wish you all well. God bless you. And thanks for listening. Thanks for sharing. And thanks for putting up with my rant this morning. Have a great day, everybody.